Robert Shelton is a professor at the Lyman Briggs College at Michigan State University. He's currently teaching a class on science fiction, and he's with us this morning to talk about the death of science fiction writer Ray Bradbury. Robert, how are you?
Thank you very much, Tony. I'm fine.
Thanks for being with the program. Kind of ironic that you're teaching a course on science fiction when perhaps the greatest science fiction writer of all time passed away.
It was an irony, and it was the kind of bittersweet irony that Ray Bradbury was a master of. It's a little hard to talk about him in the past tense, so I know the occasion is the death, but I'd like to talk more about his life and career. But specifically about that class, yes, I've taught this class three times before, and we read a set of science fiction short stories, and about 10 or 15 stories into the class, I do a survey of the students and say, what's been your favorite piece so far? And there are lots of stories that they can pick from by Philip K. Dick, Ursula Le Guin, H.G. Wells, but all three times, the winner has been a story by Ray Bradbury.
You know what's interesting about Ray Bradbury is he hated the term science fiction, and he didn't want to be pencil-holed into a science fiction writer.
That's very true. There are all kinds of ways around it. I guess I would say first that he did write one great science fiction novel. That would be Fahrenheit 451. Pretty much no matter what your definitions or how stringent your definitions are, that one would work. But part of me thinks that he did that at least to show that he could do science fiction, but he was much more interested in ideas, beautiful, thoughtful prose, recreating myth and history, and first and foremost, telling a great story.
Tell us what you know about his life.
His life is actually a wonderful kind of snapshot home movie of America over the past 90, or almost 92 years. He was born in the Midwest in Illinois in 1920, and he had a childhood there that it's very easy to be sentimental or nostalgic about. But he had both a dark and a light side to that childhood. It was in the Midwest. And by the time the Depression hit and really hit hard for his family, they, like a lot of Americans, said, let's go to California. And so when he was 13, Ray was taken to Los Angeles, and that's where he lived for the rest of his life. He was part of the Los Angeles culture from 1934 on, part of the writing culture there as well. His family, as I said, was poor, didn't really have the money to send him to college, so he got his education, as he says, in the libraries of Los Angeles. He thought that a lot of very important things were going to happen to America, and that a lot of very important things had happened in America. He put both sets of those important events, ones that had happened, ones that he imagined, together into his stories.
How will Ray Bradbury be remembered from your perspective, especially when you put him up against other great American writers?
I think he will be remembered as simply one of the very best American writers of the short story. There are some writers who are better, frankly, at the novel, and some, like Ray Bradbury, who are better with the short story. He would be, for example, in great company with Edgar Allan Poe. And I would say, both in terms of style and substance, Bradbury will join Edgar Allan Poe in the canon, and we'll be reading Bradbury 100 years from now.
Robert, what made him so good?
Part of what made him so good is he was this sensitive, observant child back in Illinois, and he never lost that quality. You can see he's hyper-intelligent, he writes beautiful prose, all of that, but he saw the world through not the innocent eyes of a child, but the profoundly observant eyes of a child.
What were his best books from your perspective?
The one I always fall back on, because it's just a marvel of construction and accident and brilliance, is the Martian Chronicles. That's comprised of a whole bunch of short stories that he wrote in the late 1940s, and then he pieced them together to make a novel in 1950.
What made that so good?
It tells, among other things, it tells the story and retells the story of America. It's projected in the future. It's published in 1950, as I said, and its time frame for the tales are 1999 to 2026. And in that course of time, we get a retelling of the European invasion or Europeans coming to America, and we get the relationship between the Europeans and the Native Americans replayed as the relationships between men from Earth and the Martians.
All right. Before we let you go, are there other science fiction writers, American writers, who are young and up and coming that we should be watching out for?
I would put in a pitch for more names than you want me to list here, but I would say Ted Chiang is one and Ken Liu is another. They write brilliant psychological prose, and I would add, just to get some gender balance here, Connie Willis.
All right. Interesting. I can remember, especially Fahrenheit 451 was one of my all-time favorites. Well, how about you?
That's one of my favorites. I actually read the Martian Chronicles first when I was 10, and I thought then, I'm pretty good at remembering, although that was a long time ago, that I thought that was just a wonderful story that had nothing to do with the world around me. And then I read it again 10 years later and said, oh, this has everything to do with the world around me. So my favorite would indeed be the Martian Chronicles.
Robert Shelton is a professor at the Lyman Briggs College at Michigan State University. He's currently teaching a class on science fiction. We appreciate your time, Professor. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Tony. I enjoyed it.